So, Norm, let me ask you this then, because just prior to the recording of this, you and I were talking about Judge Mershon and his expectations of a certain amount of decorum by the prosecutors, by the defendants, you believe witnesses as well, in order to be careful what they say and to uphold the rule of law.
Yes.
Now, just hours after that court appearance, and I'm talking about from the time that the orange-crusted Mandarin Mussolini took that fat ass up onto his plane and then landed and returned it to Mar-a-Lago, he's sitting there and waiting before a group of Mar-a-Lagoans, right? And he decides to give a speech. And, of course, he decides to have dinner with the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, right? Because the poor baby's ego, his fragile ego, got beaten up sitting there, right, beneath the judge who he has contempt for and having to go through the process of the arraignment. But the second he stands up on that podium at Mar-a-Lago in the ballroom, he starts to attack the investigation into him. Of course, denies all wrongdoing. He's the victim, right? And he then proceeds once again to criticize the judge, his daughter, the wife. I mean, he goes on saying, I have a Trump-hating judge with a Trump-hating wife and family whose daughter worked for Vice President Kamala Harris and now receives money from the Biden-Harris campaign. I mean, he goes on to do every single thing that the judge just told him not to do. Then Andrew Weissman went on, you know, and he was on television, you know, the former federal prosecutor, and he starts talking about the comments that Trump is making, not just about Mershon, his wife, daughter, but about Jack Smith. He, of course, makes fun of him at this, whatever you want to call it, this gathering of goofballs. And then he turns around and he talks about Fani Willis, he talks about Tish James, anybody that's against him. Whereas Weissman then calls his comments appalling and that heads of organized crime gangs would not behave in such a way, which I thought was interesting. And his exact quote, you do not have this behavior from a mob boss. There is a rule in organized crime that you do not do this with respect to prosecutors. You do not do this with respect to the judge. You certainly don't go after their families. It's bad business to do that. What the hell is Donald thinking, if anything at all?
Well, Michael, I don't believe he's able to control himself any longer. And he was not gagged. No gag order was put into place. As I told Jim Acosta on CNN over the weekend, I didn't think prosecutors were going to seek one. I thought they were going to give him enough rope and see if he hangs himself. And he's well on the way to doing that. I don't think yesterday's remarks are going to be sufficient to bring that about. But that day of reckoning for his words is coming. I can't say that it was, unpacked here. There'll be further to go, but he's not going to be able, in my view, to keep carrying on like this. At some point, the court is going to get fed up with him.
Norm, what are they waiting for? For somebody to get hurt? I mean, you know, what's it going to take in order to place a gag order on? I'm not saying he wants to go and he wants to claim his innocence to the press. God bless him. I wish to God that I had done that. That when I was being attacked by Southern District of New York. Of course, I only had 48 hours. So how much are you going to get done on a Friday to a Monday? But Don Jr. himself then goes ahead because Don's trying to crawl up. You know, he's trying to get daddy's love and attention. He posts a picture of the judge's daughter on their Truth Social or wherever the hell that he put it up. That's serious stuff. And again, a lot of these MAGAs are unhinged and somebody could easily get hurt. I'm just trying to figure out how much more does this lunatic in chief have to do before which somebody like Judge Merchan, who's a no-nonsense judge, will not take Donald's shit. That's for sure. He's going to turn around and say, you crossed the goddamn line, Donald. All right? And here's your last warning. I mean, personally, I'll tell you what I would love to see. I'd love to see Merchan call up one of the Cracker Jack lawyers that was sitting at that table, right, and say, I want Donald in my office on Friday. Put his ass back onto the plane. Bring him back here to New York. All right? Sit him down. Explain to him what he can and he can't do in third grade terms, right? Maybe draw it out in crayon so that he understands it with maybe some stick figures, what you can and you can't do. And the next time that you do this, I place a gag order on you. And then I'm going to bring you back in to serve you with that gag order. And then you do it again, then I'm holding you in contempt and you're going to be sleeping the night in jail. It's the only way to deal with Donald.
The judge is not going to do that because of the First Amendment, the jurisprudence around gag orders, the practice in courts of giving a defendant a chance and another chance, the coded language, the high-profile nature of the case. Everybody has been put on notice. It was discussed in court, including the two most disturbing statements, in my view, quote, death and destruction, close quote, which was the closest thing we had to the Will Be Wild tweet that triggered January 6th, set up January 6th, and the image of Trump swinging a baseball bat at Bragg's head. And now they're going to let it play out. You know, there's a saying, Michael, in the halls of justice, justice is in the halls. And what that means is one of the first things I learned as a young trial lawyer getting trained on how to do criminal trials here in D.C., D.C. Superior Court, one of the great metropolitan criminal dockets in the country. You get a little bit of everything. That was one of the first sayings they taught me, and what it means is the law is not just what's written in the books. It comes to life. It comes off the page by the culture and the practice. And the practice is, you know, you're not going to gag a defendant, even one as loose-lipped as Trump, on the first day of the case at the arraignment. If he keeps it up and he crosses the line, he's going to get gagged. And if he doesn't respect the gag order, then you're looking at contempt and, you know, possible pretrial incarceration. So we're far from that right now.
Like I said, I think Merchan would be making a mistake until, and listen, if somebody gets hurt, then, you know, I don't want to be the guy to turn around to say, hey, I told you so, but this is what Donald does. This is exactly what we saw on January 6th. And I'm afraid that with his incendiary language, that's something that can happen again.